Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Our gospel today has many layers, and we need to look at it in the context of what came before and what comes afterwards. It's 6 days before the Passover, 2 weeks before Jesus is crucified. He's about to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey and be hailed as the Messiah, only to have the same crowd shouting for his execution just a few days later. Have you ever wondered why? Because I've often wondered why. And I think it's possibly because the chief priests may have got to the crowd. We'll hear about that a little bit later on. But they were fearful, the Jews, very fearful of the Romans. And when the chief priests saw the crowds hailing Jesus as the Messiah when he rode in Jerusalem, I suspect they may have warned the people that if they continue to hail him as the Messiah, as the King of the Jews, the Romans would destroy them. Caiaphas actually said, "It's better that the death of one man than the death of a whole nation." But I want to go just back now to our timeline. Jesus is very soon going to have that last intimate meal with the disciples when he washes their feet and eats the Passover meal with them. That same night that, of course, he is arrested. But for now, he is having dinner with his close friends, this little family, two sisters and their brother. And it's a dinner, we are told, was prepared for him in his honour. John in his gospel focuses quite a lot on Jesus' relationship with these siblings. And it's very likely John would have been with Jesus on these meetings with them. John, I feel, gives a strong hint of the relationship Jesus had. In the previous chapter, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it was the sisters who sent a message saying, "Lord, the one who you love is ill." I think there was this very close relationship. I'm sure you'll remember Luke in his gospel relates the time when Jesus visited before. Martha was doing all the preparation and the cooking in the kitchen. What was Mary doing? Sitting at Jesus' feet and listening. Quite unheard of in society at the time. The women would keep out of the way in the kitchen. It's the men who would listen to the words of wisdom. Yet Mary broke the rules and didn't help Martha. She sat at Jesus' feet and listened. Martha, you will remember, seeking for Jesus to tell her off and return to help her in the kitchen, I think got a bit of a shock when Jesus said to her, "Martha, you're worried about and distracted by many things. There's only one important thing. Mary has chosen the better part." And yet, when we read about the death of Lazarus, it's Martha who runs out to meet Jesus. And this wonderful, wonderful conversation takes place. Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "Well, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Then Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." "Martha, do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Two very different sisters. And yet, I'm quite sure, both equally loved by Jesus, as was Lazarus. Another thing that delights me in reading this passage is that, by the sound of it, this little family were very special friends of Jesus. Jesus, like all of us, needed friends. He had the disciples, of course, but he loved them, but they could be very hard work on occasions. And I have a feeling that this little family was somewhere he could relax, be a little bit chilled, and just simply enjoy their company. So here we are. Jesus has raised their brother from the grave. He's now approaching the time when he will also be in a grave, and he also will be raised from the dead, as Lazarus was. Once again, we see Martha serving and Mary sitting with Jesus. Lazarus, we are told, was at the table with Jesus. I think he was quite delighted to be alive, really. But then dear Mary breaks all the rules. Not only is she at Jesus' feet, but she anoints his feet and wipes them with her hair. Women in that society should always have kept their hair covered and tied up. Mary lets her hair down and wipes his feet. Absolutely outrageous. Some commentators have tried to sexualize this, but I don't see that at all. I see it as an extreme demonstration of her love and her devotion. But poor Mary is once again criticized by Judas this time. What a waste, he says. Should have been sold, the money given to the poor. And it's worth perhaps remembering, one denarii was the wages for a labourer for one day. So 300 denarii, nearly a year's wages, quite a lot of money. And Jesus tells Judas to leave her alone, saying that she has bought this, inferring with her own money, and was keeping it for the day of his burial. Now that got me thinking, did Mary know already that Jesus was about to die soon? Well, Jesus had predicted his death several times, and I suspect Mary may well have heard him do that. She would also have been aware of the huge rumpus that was caused by the raising of her brother Lazarus. We read in the previous chapter, John tells us that the chief priests had a meeting and they were worried. And they're saying, if he goes on like this, everyone will believe in him. Interesting. But the Romans will come and destroy our holy place and our nation. And it was from that day on, we're told, they'd planned to put him to death. Get rid of the problem. Let one man die for the sake of the nation. Doing too many amazing things, and the Romans won't like it. There's going to be trouble. In fact, if we read on in chapter 12 from our gospel, the chief priests were so concerned, they'd also were planning to kill Lazarus as well, as he was, in a sense, the cause of all the stirring. And it's quite ironic, in a way, that pulling down the temple and destroying the nation was exactly what the Romans did just a few years later in AD 70. I can imagine Mary having a good idea about what was going to happen, and perhaps fearing that she would not be able to get anywhere near Jesus after he was executed, chose this moment to anoint him for his death with the perfume that she had bought in preparation and at great expense. Mary clearly loved Jesus deeply. Spending a huge sum of money to anoint him for burial, and I would not be at all surprised if that perfume was not mixed with her tears as she wiped his feet with her hair. It's also quite clear to me Jesus loved Mary deeply. So what can we learn from this? Well, this week we start on that journey with Jesus as we remember the events of these next 2 weeks. So much will happen leading up to his death. But here, in a moment, almost frozen in time, away from all of that which is going to happen, we see the wonderful devotional love between Mary and her master. So let us, during these next 2 weeks, as we rush through all the events that are going on, take time to be like Mary, to sit at Jesus' feet, to lavish on him signs of our devotional love, and to receive from him his devotional love. We remember that our Lord Jesus would still have taken the path that he did to die and save us if we had been the only one in the world. My Lord, what love is this that gave so freely that I, the guilty one, may go free. Amazing love, what sacrifice the Son of God given for me. My debt he pays, my death he dies, that I might live. Amen.